chapter 20, beginning at verse 19, a very well-known passage. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." A wonderful passage that we're going to look at in a moment or two, as we live in the reminder of the incredible, powerful resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that what that has achieved for us as individuals, as a church, as God's people throughout the world. We'll spend some time in praying for and interceding for ourselves, our families, our church, our city, our country, and the nations at large. Time where we come. I was just thinking this week, what should I preach on? I had something prepared beforehand, but I thought it just doesn't feel quite right. And I guess this is where I have the privilege and the opportunity as a pastor to sit down sometimes and pray. Pray for as long as I want or as little as I want, and ask the Lord to show me what he might want to bring to us as a congregation, to us as individuals, to us as people. And I so powerfully felt the word encouragement. I don't know why, but the word encouragement. And then, you know, I went about my business, my life, my whatever, and I forgot about it. And then somebody wrote me a little note this week and put it to the door. Only a few words, about 9 words, but so encouraging words. And that remind me again, actually I do need to bring some encouragement to you, to us all, as we look forward to what God has in store for us. In the midst of what it is today, still a little bit of pandemic, but what it is also a very restless world that we live in. The scripture says that encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We so much live in a world that is full of trouble, and Jesus says, "Take heart, because I have overcome the world. Be at peace." We live in a broken world where everything calls us towards selfishness, despair, disappointment, discouragement, isn't it? We just had 2 years of, and still some degree still in it, of huge discouragement and disappointment. When encouragement is absent, I've come to realize over the years, from the life of church people, we feel unloved, unimportant. We feel, discouraged and disappointed. We feel bitter, at times angry. When encouragement lacks from God's people, no matter what we do, we don't feel loved. When encouragement lacks from God's people, no vision matters. No projects and no programs matter. But when encouragement comes in, it's like oxygen in the life of a church. It keeps hearts beating in praise and worship. It keeps minds clear on God's word. and also inspires us to serve. When we encourage one another, we are inspired to serve the Lord. When we have encouragement with one another, we begin to feel appreciated and loved. And so I hope this morning that you'll go out of here feeling encouraged, as I felt encouraged by preparing this message by the Lord's ministry to me as I was preparing this. And I discover something that I've never ever seen before, unless the Lord would have told me to look at what it means to be encouraged in the scripture this week. And I discover that the first words that Jesus ever uttered after he came back from the death, all were words of encouragement. Seven words. You know, we know the seven words of the cross, but there were seven words of encouragement that Jesus shared with his people. All words of encouragement. Let me show you. The first one is this. Oh, we need a PowerPoint. You don't need me up there. Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks. So the first word as such that Jesus pronounces, the first sentence that Jesus pronounces after he was alive, after he came back from the tomb, from that cross, is, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Those are the first words that Jesus pronounces as he comes out of that tomb, that empty tomb. Words of care. Honestly, I felt those words so powerfully speaking to me as I was reading them or looking at them. Because I could cry forever at the moment. Whether it's the pandemic, whether it's something else in my life, whether it's tiredness, whatever, but I was just reading those words and really hit me hard. Why are you crying? And some of us probably feel like that, with the pressure, the difficulties and circumstances that we went through in the last few weeks, months, even couple of years. Why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Looking at the government to make you better, to reduce the bills or whatever. Looking to the doctor to give us the good news that he resided, or whatever it is. Who are you looking for? Why are you crying? First words were words of encouragement, words of care. Look at this, the second words, Mary, that Jesus pronounced. Mary, when Mary goes to the tomb early in the morning on the third day and finds that the tomb is empty. Oops, the tomb is not there anymore. The tomb is empty. And Jesus starts speaking to her and she says, "Well, where have you put him? Where is he?" Think he's the gardener. And then he says, "Mary." What powerful words of affirmation. In the midst of what we've gone through together, God still calls us by name. We're still his children, his daughter or his son. He still knows us by name, Mary. Words of affirmation. The third word that Jesus was sentenced as that Jesus pronounced as he was the risen Christ. "Go to my brothers and tell them," this is our mission. This is our ministry in God's mission. We got the good news of a caring, affirming God. Go and tell others, "I am alive forevermore." It's about our ministry, it's about our witness to the world around us that lives in discouragement and disappointment just now. And then is what our passage emphasizes today. Twice in that passage, Jesus says to them, "Peace be with you." How we long to hear those words and to live at this time in peace. Peace in Eastern Europe, peace in our hearts, peace in our church, peace in our city, peace in our government. Peace be with you. The fourth sentence that Jesus pronounces as the risen Christ, a blessing. Peace be with you, a reassurance almost. The following word that Jesus says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He continues to empower us. And I found that so powerful as I was reflecting and thinking about it, because those guys still didn't understand the cross, really. Peter and John and James and Mark and Luke, they didn't quite get it yet. And yet he comes and he says, receive the Holy Spirit, because without it, you won't be able to be my witnesses. But it starts from, did you see the order in which they start from care and affirmation to blessing and empowerment? I've never ever realized that till this week, when I sat down to think about this message, how it came, the order in which they came, the purpose for which God has used them, and in the circumstances in which he pronounced them. Receive the Holy Spirit, the anointing. The following one, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. In our passage, this is the first sermon of the resurrected Christ, of the risen Lord. The first sermon. What is it all about? Forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgiveness. Forgive others as I have forgiven you. The first sermon of the risen Christ. And then there is another one as such, the last one that I have found. Stop doubting and believe. The words said to Thomas, the words later said to the disciples. This is about our faith. What an incredible, powerful words of encouragement, of affirmation, of care, of love, of grace, of faith. A blessing indeed. Stop doubting and believe. This is all about faith. We have seen a risen Christ, Christ dying on the cross, and we have witnessed a risen Christ. Stop doubting and believe. Nothing comes as an encouragement to us more than those words. Doubt are always stepping stones to more belief. There will always be doubt. There will always be doubt in our lives, but they're only stepping stones to a greater faith, to a greater intimacy with the Lord. So, encouragement, biblical encouragement, is more than me just saying what a lovely hairstyle Judy Aiken has got this morning in church, which it is, of course. But it's more than that. I'm sure it's more than that. It's more than just saying, well, lovely chocolate cake Karen bakes, you know, from time to time. Not that I'm alluding to anything Karen, but that's fine. Encouragement is more than that. This is a nice compliment, that is. But biblical encouragement carries with it I think I put it up here for you so you can see it. Encouragement in a biblical way always was and is an essential way. It's a vital, it's a paramount way of extending grace, love, forgiveness to one another. That's what encouragement does. Nothing else will lift us up and get us closer to God than encouragement. You know what I've done throughout my ministry, now 31 years of ministry. Sandra will tell you, I've got in my file cabinet at home, and we clean a lot of it in the last couple of months or so. But one thing that we came across is I have a file full with a couple of big envelopes, huge, massive envelopes, full of cards that have been given to me of encouragement. I only had four of them in the last 3 years. Yes, these days they come by email, they come by telephone or text or whatever. But there is something of having taking the time to write 9 words on a little card and give it to someone and say, may the Lord be with you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing the other. I keep that folder because whenever I feel miserable and discouraged and I'll go and pick it up and I take it out and read the blessings, the affirmation, the encouragement that I received in those cards. In those cards. Encouragement was and is always an essential way. Yes, we might get great vision. We might go and conquer the world. We might go and send missionaries throughout Eastern Europe or whatever. But if the base of our fellowship is not encouragement, nothing that will be done will carry the intimacy, the power, the faith that the risen Christ has empowered us with to share among others. Let me tell you a little story. I don't know how many years ago, but in 1956, how many years is that? 66, thank you, Steve. Hey, see? Steve, the mathematician, 66 years. On June the 18th, a freak accident happened on a lake in New York. A speeding motorboat bounced on a wave and shot into the water two of its passengers, a 50-year-old man and a little girl. They both fell overboard. To keep her from drowning, the man held her head, the little girl's head, above the water, while the boat circled back and up and down. Later on, the rescue arrived and they rescued the girl that was on the palm of this gentleman who was holding her head above the water. But the man sank and drowned. Have you heard of this story before? Do you know who this man was? His man was Dawson Trotman. He is the founder of the Navigators, the International Discipleship Ministry. On his grave in America says this: he lived to save others. His death was just the way he would have planned it. In his obituary, someone wrote that he died just the way he lived, always lifting someone up. Always lifting someone up. What a legacy, to be known as someone who always lifts others up. We're so good at putting ourselves down, let alone others. We are good at discouraging ourselves, and others come and help with that too. But what a grace it is, what a powerful testimony to God's love and grace it is when we become a blessing, when we become an encouragement to others. Let me share something with you that I discovered again this week. I could not believe my eyes. Jesus himself, I believe personally, the reason, or one of the reasons he pronounced those words of encouragement as the risen Christ is because he knew discouragement. He experienced discouragement at a huge level. Jesus, in one of the passages in Mark, in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 6, says, "Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? Aren't this his sisters that are here with us?" Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." Jesus knew rejection. He knew discouragement from his relatives, from his family. Another verse that I want to share with you from another passage. "They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff." Poor Jesus. "But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way." You would have thought that his brothers, his physical brothers, his family brothers, and even his friends and his disciples will go and rescue him and help him and defend him. No, he had to make his own way quickly because he was ready to be thrown off the cliff because he was not welcome as a prophet from God. He knew that even his family, even his friends discouraged him. But looking at this, taking a step even further, even his close brothers, for even his own brothers did not believe in him in John chapter 7. And I love this, and let me tell you a truth about this. Jesus, if you look at the scripture, and if you find ever, even the slightest word or sentence or an allusion to the fact that Jesus as he was rejected, as he was discouraged, even by his friends and family, if you ever find something that he ever tried to control the behavior of his brothers or his or the Pharisees or the Sadducees or whatever he was, then I will eat that verse. I will eat that Bible. He did not demand that they agree with him. Never. You'll never find that in the scripture here. He did not make his mission to try and please them. He did not allow their words and their view of him to distract him from the purpose that God has called him to. Never. Never. We cannot control the way our family responds to us. Let me tell you something. We need to move beyond the naive expectation that if we are good and we do good and we behave right, people will love us. No. It never happened, it will never do. My grandmother always wanted me to be a pilot. I don't know what for, but if she wanted me to be a pilot, and anything else will not match to that level. Romanian culture is that unless you're a doctor or a lawyer, that's not good enough. You have to be one of them. My grandmother wanted me to be a pilot. Now, between the age of about 12 till the age of 21 to actually become a pastor, I tried to suss out what I really wanted to do. And every time I went to her, I said, I think this is what I want to do. She got disappointed. And let me tell you something. You can change 600 times your jobs and there's still no guarantee that you're going to please your aunt or your husband or your children or your wife or whatever, even if you got the job that they want to. As long as you think you can control people's behavior towards you, you are held in bondage by their opinion. Why am I saying this stuff? Because this is how discouragement comes in when we try to please others. Let me tell you something. I don't think I've ever mentioned this to you. But we here as Christians, we as God's people, we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. That's about his sovereignty. We have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. That's about our salvation. But there's one more thing that you and I need to accept. It's something that I've been struggling all my life with, and I still do. We need to accept in our hearts, fully surrendering, God as Father. Because unless God, from his lordship to his salvific act of grace in our life, we no move from those two levels to the level of fatherhood, we will never know what encouragement is from Christ. Hard words for me to say, but I find that in Scripture, I find that in my life too. Jesus Christ is more than just Lord and Savior with our heads and in our minds and for our souls. He wants to be our Father who cares and affirms and praises. And the trouble is that when we begin to look for affirmation and praise and encouragement from other people, we're going to get in trouble. That's why I'm encouraging you this morning to learn to look beyond the lordship and beyond making Jesus your Savior of your life into making him the Father of your everyday walk with him. Only God the Father can give you the affirmation and encouragement you need. Having your family approval in life is desirable, but it's not necessary for your encouragement and happiness in life. Jesus did not let his relationship with others, the dynamics of his family relationship, derail him from the call that God has given him. So what happened to Jesus' family? Look at this. You read it in Acts, where the Pentecost came. They all were together. They were praising God. And look what it says there. They all joined together constantly in prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They now were together praying. They're now beginning to believe him and understand what his reason was for coming among the people. Jesus gave them space, time, and grace. He didn't patronize them. He didn't try and change them. Through his life, they witnessed his grace. And lastly and finally, we look at Jesus' example, that those wonderful words of encouragement that he pronounced after his resurrection, the disappointment that he experienced with discouragement in his life and ministry. And I want to share with you another guide, because you think, oh, I'm Jesus center here, which I am, but also someone more mortal, someone like us, a chap called Barnabas. A great guy, a great apostle, somebody who came to Christ later on as Jesus was risen from the dead, as he witnessed his power and the truth of the gospel. For instance, there was a man called Joseph, the one the apostle nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. How many of you would like to have the nickname Barnabas, son of encouragement? Do you have a nickname? I had a few nicknames, from Haralambie to all sorts of other names, given all majority by my grandmother. But none of them is equal with the son of encouragement, Barnabas, because his real name was Joseph, as such. Two things that this guy has ever done. Two things. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas. Just very briefly, and I'm finishing in five minutes. Very briefly to tell you what happened here. Paul and Barnabas wanted to go into their different ways to spread God's word. Paul just became a missionary. From becoming a persecutor of the Church of Christ, he became a missionary, and he wanted to take Silas with him. Silas, not Mark, because Mark was, you know, very laid back, very slow. By the time when you ask him a question, by the time he gives you an answer, it will take forever and ever. He was very calculated before he went on a mission and ministry. He wanted to sit down to see how much it cost, where would we go, if we, you know, how we have to plan everything. Well, Paul wasn't like that. Paul was more of a Romanian kind of style. We just go and do it, it doesn't matter. We'll count the cost later on. So he didn't get on with Mark. So he said, I'm not going to take Mark with me on this missionary journey. I'm going to take Silas, this guy. So Barnabas saw that Mark was very discouraged, and Barnabas went and took Mark under his wing. Mark is the guy who wrote the first gospel that we have now here. Mark is the inspiration and influence of all the other gospel writers. If Mark would have written the gospel, would have had no other gospels. All because of Barnabas. Just me, come with me, mate. You know, I'll take you with me. I'll encourage you. What an encouragement. What a grace extended to this man. Without Mark, we may not have the gospels. Just because of the son of encouragement. And the second thing that I'm going to close with is that, Barnabas had a problem with Paul, or Paul had a problem with Barnabas. And more than that, it was that Paul, after he became a Christian because he was a persecutor of church folk, he wanted to go and spread the gospel. The problem was that the church in Antioch and all that is Middle Eastern, Europe, Asian, geographically speaking, whatever it is, they had problem in trusting Paul because they saw what Paul could do to Christians. So they had problem in trusting him to bring him into their home groups, to bring him into their homes, to bring him into their churches. So again, Barnabas comes in and he takes, I don't think whether I've got a verse here, have I got a verse? No, I probably don't have it. But yes, he does. After the, let me read it here because I can't see it there. Basically, Paul takes, Barnabas takes Paul and introduces him to the churches. And he speaks to them about him and shows them that he really became a genuine convert. Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for people, come and give it. Come and give it. Encouragement is spoken. Encouragement is shown. Barnabas brought Paul, this is what the verse I was looking for, to the apostles and told them Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus. This is what encouragement does. It is spoken, it is written on a little card, shared through a telephone conversation, through a knock on the door, through a thank you note, but it's also shown in many, many ways. Encouragement is the fuel that gives rise to the sparkles of hope, of service, and its aroma goes up as smoke goes up before the throne of God, whom he is pleased to receive. Encouragement. Let us together become people that we can encourage one another in our walk with him. Let's just spend for a moment or two in prayer. I probably not even pray, but for us to reflect on those words, and then we'll sing a couple of songs. One that is an affirmation of Christ's encouragement to us that he will never let go, and that through his power we are forever saved as we trust in him. Affirm.